Let's check the numbers as they settled up on Thursday for the CME Group in Chicago. December soft red winter wheat settled 3 cents higher at $8.45 and a quarter. The July there at $8.73, a settlement price up 3.5 cents. In Kansas City, the July settled at the hard red $9.19 and three quarters, and that was 5.5 cents higher. From the corn pit in Chicago, these are closes and not settlement prices. December futures $7.46 and a quarter on the close, 7 cents lower. The March at $7.50 and a quarter, down 7.5. And the May, $7.50 and a half, down 8 cents. July corn $7.47 and a half on the close, 5 and a quarter lower. And December futures, a close at $6.43 and a half, down 2 cents. January soybeans up 10 and three quarters of a cent, $14.90 the close. The March at $14.84 and a half, up 10 and three quarters. The May down 1/4 of a cent at $14.50 and a half. And July soybeans at $14.52 and a quarter, up 12 and three quarters. August futures $14.24 and a half, up 11 and three quarters. November beans at $13.34 and three quarters, 2 3/4 of a cent higher. Bean meal futures at $4.58, up 4.80. Bean oil at $50.87, up 21 for the day. Live cattle futures February contract at $1.31, 2.5, 50 cents higher. The March feeders at $150.80 on a settlement, up $1.75. And lean hogs in the Febs at $84.45. finished $1.20 lower. This is the closing market report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is the sixth day of December 2012. On the phone line with us from Mandeville, Louisiana, and CGB Enterprises is Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Let's start next week. You and I both will be on the road next week, and you're on the road a little bit more often than I am, but we'll be trouncing around some of the same places. Early in the week, I'll be in Champaign, and then on Tuesday up at Sycamore. We'll be in Galesburg with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits on Wednesday, down to Mount Vernon. That's a long trip from one place to the other on Thursday. And we'll wind up in Bloomington on Friday. And you'll be out and about, too. Where are you going to be next week?
Well, I'll be at up in Dwight on Monday morning. So I'm flying into Bloomington on Sunday, and I see the Bloomington thermometer is going to be in the teens for Monday morning. So I guess I'm going to get a good dose of cold weather. Tuesday, move up to the Patriot Anawan ethanol plant. On Tuesday lunch, I'm at Utica. Wednesday breakfast morning, going to be in Freeport. Be in Deer Grove for lunch, and we'll have dinner in Rochelle. And then Thursday we'll be at the train loader in Polo, Illinois. So I've got several meetings there in northern Illinois. I guess good thing that we're not competing against one another. We're at other sides of the state. So farmers will be able to have all kinds of opportunities to get everybody's opinion in the next week or so.
Yeah,
here.
That Freeport run, that's deep up there in the northern part of the state. I've only made that trip a couple of times, but that's a long haul up there.
Well, yeah, you're almost in Wisconsin. But there's a listening audience up there, believe it or not, Todd.
There's a lot of people
up in that area that listen to us.
All right. So, and can I bring you back to the ethanol plant that you're headed to? Because I was reading the spread, and you heard that number. It's just 19.5 cents, the spread between crude oil and the ethanol. Those are both spot months. That's really, really narrow by comparison as to where it has been. It's been as wide, I think, when I started tracking it, which wasn't very long ago in August. It was 60 cents, so it was a lot more. There was a lot more margin there. Are the ethanol plants getting squeezed pretty hard at this point now or not?
Well, if you look at the statistics, I mean, we've kind of had a recovery in corn grind. I mean, last week a week ago, it was 87.7 million bushels in corn grind. The week before, it was about 85, and prior to that, it was like 82. So we have seen a pickup in ethanol grind and production of ethanol, so they must be at least making some money. They're probably not, gathering large profits, but to see that pick up in grind, that was one of the bullish influences in corn yesterday. Of course, today we kind of erased all of that. But it all depends upon which plant, how efficient they are, how good the merchandiser is buying in grain. and all that. So there's a lot of variables, and but it appears that you know, at the moment anyway, there's no backing off of ethanol grind. It looks like it's picking up a little bit.
On the charts for corn, I've been taking a look at it just very quickly, and it appears that there's a whole lot of consolidation after we made those highs in August, and then we came back down to a low where was that in late September. But we've kind of spiraled across here. It seems it's a formation that seems like it's more base building a lot of times, but is it maybe a bit scary? I'm not sure. How do you see that one?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to take a broad brush look at it, yeah, you would probably say that it's a big base around 714, low points 715 on the low side on the March corn futures, and then the high points here have been about 775. We had a high October 12th of 775 and three quarters, and our high here the end of November was 76 and a half. So you could square that up and say that is a just a big basing period to move higher or get ready for the next leg down. And but it is a basing period. Now, I kind of got it drawn in more as a wedge formation. I kind of drew a line off of the October high and the November high, and then that shows you breaking out of that wedge formation there on November 26th. And we had that quick run on up to the 776 and a half area, and now we've come back to that point of breakout and congesting. We've got about 5 days here in a row here, basically trading in this 748 to 760 area in here. So I kind of view it as kind of a basing period. Now, if this breakout is any good, then we should see the resumption of the trend in the direction of the breakout. And since it broke to the upside, then technicians are kind of waiting for the resumption to reassert itself in the corn market. The problem is, I don't know what's going to cause that, at least at the moment, because you can take a look at how bad our export demand is in corn. We only sold like 52,000 tons of corn. Overall, year-to-date, I think we're down like 46%. So we just ain't selling no corn. There's no export book on. But the ethanol grind is you know, purring along pretty much at USDA's projections. I think, you know, there's still a big debate about what size of crop we have, but we're not going to know that for a while. That's still another 6 weeks or so away. Or I guess we are in December, so but we're at least 5 weeks away where we get the December 1 stocks number, and the USDA then will back out of that and see what kind of overall production number we did have. So, and there's many believe that harvested acres are going to come down in that. We got a much smaller crop, but we'll have to kind of wait and see on that. I think our competing countries are about out of corn, so I do expect to see some export demand begin to pick up after the first of the year. But then we've got another big issue in front of us that we talked about last week is the lower Mississippi here. It's just a matter of time, it looks like, that's going to be shut down in a couple weeks. But the Army Corps and the engineers keep promising they're going to try to keep it going to the end of the month anyway, the end of December. But that's going to have to shut down, and then all of a sudden the only way to get stuff down to the Gulf is through the rail. And the rail is already at capacity, and it can only probably ship, I think I read a statistic here today, normally we take about 5.5 million tons through that Granite City lock to go south during the December-March time frame. And if we go to the rail, you'll only be able to get about 2.5 million tons down there. So you'll only be able to get about half the grain down here to the Gulf. Now, the export facility the group visited last summer, Zeno Grain, we have all the rail capacity, but we can't get the trains down fast enough. We have the most rail capacity to unload the rails into the vessels, but the rail line is backed up to get those trains down here. And, you know, soybeans is the one that has a big book in it. Everybody's loading beans to China. And it could create some interesting twists and turns as we go down the road. We may end up rationing inventory because we can't get it to the buyer because of our transportation system.
It'll be interesting and fun to watch. It's certainly going to line up as a unique winter set of months, I think, here in the Midwest.
Well, I was kidding with one of my buddies that if they start blowing up that rock down there, that probably caused the New Madden fault line to break and might split Illinois in half, and then you guys will be able to succeed from Chicago, maybe.
That depends on where the line runs.
Yeah, might split it down the Illinois River and empty out the Lake Michigan.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, thanks so much, and we'll look for you next week, or at least have fun here in the state of Illinois next week.
Okay, sure will. Thanks.
Okay. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. He'll be making his way across the state of Illinois next week. If you didn't catch all the places he will be, you can pick those up off our website just by listening to this program at willag.org. That's willag.org.